Hello, and welcome to the brand new WeLoveIt.com podcast. I'm James Fluker, and over the coming weeks and months, I'm going to be here with the rest of the WeLoveIt team to provide you with a mix of gaming, discussion, news, music, and much, much more. Available for you to listen to and enjoy wherever you are. On today's show, we've got a discussion about how retro themes are becoming more popular in newer games. We have the complete Wii and DS release list for America and Europe over the summer, and we'll be taking a look at our game of the week, which is Water Warfare. In case you haven't seen us kicking around the site, I think we better start by introducing you to the team, and find out what they've been playing recently. First up, we've got Knuckles Sonic 8.
Hey, I'm Knuckles Sonic 8, also known as KS8, and I'll be bringing you the news each podcast from my home country of Canada.
What have you been playing recently, KS8?
Well, recently I've been playing a lot of Swords and Soldiers, in hopes that I can get even more achievements and hopefully finally get past the 10th level in the Chinese campaign, but I am enjoying every minute of it, so that's good. I've also been playing Water Warfare a lot, ever since I got it, and I usually have a hard time putting it down whenever I do get the chance to go online, so that's a good feeling to experience. I've also been playing Let's Catch a bit here and there. I'm still trying to get farther into the game's story mode, which is actually pretty interesting, so it has me keep coming back for more. And on this past Monday, I got Bust a Move Plus and Bit Trip Core, so I've been enjoying those too, trying to get used to them and whatnot. So so I've been pretty busy, and I can't wait to find out what we're getting next week as well.
Great. Next we got Murren. What have you been playing, Murren?
Thank you, James. Over the past couple of weeks here in the surprisingly sunny and wet London, I've been playing Water Warfare by Hudson, Swords and Soldiers by Romino Games, and Pro Evolution Soccer 2009 by Konami. Yep, it's been a fairly great gaming term for me thus far, so I'll be here later on in the show to let you know what's coming out over the summer with the complete Nintendo Wii and DS release list for July 2009, which you can also find over on WeLoveIt.com. Over to you, James.
Thanks, Murren. Also making an appearance on today's podcast is Mr. Joe Curry.
Hey guys, I'm Joe, and today the show, I'll be participating in our first Top Topic with Billy. Recently, though, I've been playing No More Heroes, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. So, what have you been playing this week?
I myself have a bad habit of playing too many games at once. I think I'm up to about 12 right now, and the number just keeps going up. But the game that I'm playing the most right now is Elite Beat Agents from the Nintendo DS. For those who've never tried it out before, it's basically a music rhythm game where you tap the screen to go along with the song. The things I like the most about the game is that I recognized and enjoyed a lot of the music that was provided in it. And I felt myself getting more and more into the game as the songs got more difficult, because more beats would be added, and they would go along with the music better. So I would definitely recommend this game to anyone who even moderately enjoys that genre. Anyway, enough about me and my fixation on playing too much at once. Last but not least, we've got our website master, Billy.
Hello, I'm Billy, and I'm the website overlord from Northern England. Recently, I've been playing a few online Water Warfare matches on WiiWare, which are pretty fun overall, even if it's not the most polished game experience available. I've also been giving Virtua Tennis a swing, see what I did there, as well as continuing through my daily dose of Brain Training Master Edition, which isn't all that bad either.
Thanks, Billy. I must say that it's great to have the whole team here for the podcast, and it's going to be really cool to hear this thing playing back when it goes live. Since this is the first actual podcast we've created so far, after lots of discussion about how it'll work, what we'll do, and what we'll each participate in. Hopefully it's going to be a nice change to hear the stories and opinions from our reporters and teammates themselves, rather than just reading them from the website. If you do want to hear our team members' thoughts on Nintendo, gaming, and life in general, don't forget to check out our on-site blogs either, at weloveit.com/blogs, which is the only place we post whatever the heck we want. We've each got our own blogs where we'll be posting, so keep your eyes on our Twitter and the homepage for news on the latest entries. Anyway, up next we've got the news from the last 2 weeks from Knuckles Sonic 8, right after this tune from Donkey Kong Barrel Blast.
this week, Club Nintendo's first annual term has finally come to a close here in North America. And, as a result, Nintendo will soon be announcing the special rewards for devoted fans who completed surveys and accumulated coins to earn them gold or platinum elite status. Both groups will be getting a prize later this month. As to what these prizes are remains to be seen. However, Nintendo assures us that they will be announced before the end of July, so keep checking Club Nintendo regularly for a special message. In other news, XSEED has recently announced that they will be localizing Skycrawlers for North America. This is definitely one of the most memorable news highlights of the week, especially for those who were hoping to get a confirmation of the title hitting overseas this year. Leave it up to XSEED to localize yet another title that fans are asking for. Nintendo has recently confirmed the next set of apps for DSiWare also. There will be a series of 200-point apps based on the hit DS launch title Electroplankton. These apps are music-based and will allow users to mix with voice recordings and more. A slew of Electroplankton apps are planned, and the first set has already hit Japan. We can surely expect these apps to hit other regions as well. So what's been happening in the last little while on the WiiWare front? Well, the developers of Target Toss Pro Bags will be releasing Carnival King for the WiiWare service this month. The game will involve challenging and fast-paced gameplay in a tried-and-true premise of shooting targets. The addition of Wi-Fi leaderboards is certainly also welcomed. The developers promise that they are giving gamers big bang for their buck, so we'll have to wait and see how it turns out later this month. A series of ESRB ratings have popped up in the last little while. Some of the more noteworthy ones include the rating of Harvest Moon, My Little Shop, Arkanoid Plus, and even some interesting surprises such as Tumblebugs, a game we haven't heard about since last year. Just as noteworthy was the rating for Diner Dash, which has recently been confirmed to be set at a price of 800 Nintendo points. Monkey Island Episode 1 was another noteworthy rating that popped up in the last little while. Even though we haven't received definite details as to when we can expect this game to hit the WiiWare service, it's quite likely it'll hit this month. Before details were revealed for the Nintendo download on June 6th, the ESRB rated Impossible Mission from the Commodore 64. Now this was rated some time ago, around the time when Boulder Dash was confirmed, with an accompanying summary. Given the fact that this is the second time this game has appeared on the ESRB, it's likely to conclude that this will be our next C64 game. When the update was revealed, though, we uncovered that for the Virtual Console, we got California Games instead. What's interesting about this is that for the past 3 months, the first update of every month has featured a Commodore 64 game, so it's possible that this could be a rising pattern Nintendo is developing, just like with the recent pattern of having 3 WiiWare games per update. And finally, And Yet It Moves developers, Broken Rules, have revealed that their upcoming WiiWare remake may not feature any new levels or gameplay features that weren't in the PC version. Despite this, they are still looking at ways to make the game more exciting for those who already played the original, as they revealed in their recent interview with We Love It. You can read the full Q&A, including questions about how the team formed and what they're planning on creating next, in the interview section of WeLoveIt.com. I'm KnucklesSonic8, and this has been this week's look at the news.
That was Dilapidated Wafer, Cassinopolis, Cassinopolis from Sonic Adventure. Okay then. From Sonic Adventure DX on the GameCube. But now I'm here with Joe for this week's Hot Topic, which is on the subject of retro comebacks. We've seen several classic games revived on the Wii, from WiiWare titles such as Alien Crush, Mega Man, Adventure Island, and Gradius, to other retail titles such as Knight's Journey of Dreams and Punch-Out. Some of these games, such as Mega Man 9 and Final Fantasy IV, the after years, have even gone as far as to include their classic-style graphics, whilst Adventure Island the Beginning insisted on being played in a 4:3 window rather than widescreen. Do you think this might be going a bit too far, Joe?
No, not at all. In fact, I think this is the way most developers should be going now. I mean, when I first got Mega Man 9, I was so happy to see those old NES-style graphics again. I just want more developers to do it. If more developers do this, they'll get my respect. I'll buy the game.
Okay, then. But obviously, we still want new graphics and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Just old graphics in classic-style games. I myself feel that it just adds to the experience and is a great way to go that bit further when it comes to replicating that classic feel.
Yeah, I mean, the developers shouldn't do it too often, otherwise it might get a bit repetitive, but on the occasion, it should be done more than we've already seen.
Yeah. It's not just the classic series that are doing using this old style, though, is it? I mean, BitBoy has been released on WiiWare with mixed reactions, and that was a completely new game, replicating the feel of old generations of gaming with its classic graphics. Essentially, that is what gives the game its retro feel. And we've got one of the members of Team B+, the creators of BitBoy, to ask for their thoughts on why these themes of classic gameplay are becoming more and more accepted despite the look getting older and older.
Hello, this is Bernd Gardwinger from B+, creator of the WiiWare title BitBoy. In my opinion, gameplay simply can't get old, because it's fun to play, no matter when a gameplay idea or the player was born. There are many younger people who just know first-person shooters or other styles of gameplay that have been reused so many times over the years that they are simply outworn now. If they get a chance to experience old-style gameplay, it is completely new for them. So everyone who loves to try out new kinds of gameplay is fitted best with old school games.
What about the actual gameplay itself? Won't it begin to feel aged and worn out as time goes by? Do you think that gamers will see this and instead opt for some of the newer games out there with more modern style gameplay?
A game idea never gets old, because it's always fun to play. And that is why, in my opinion, no game should be considered less appealing only because it has been built ages ago.
Thanks for that, Bernd. Great to hear your thoughts on the subject.
Thanks, Billy.
That was Bernd Geiblinger from B+, with his thoughts on retro-style games for our Hot Topic today. One thing that bugs me about these classic-style games, Joe, is how they'll include new Wii-based features. For example, Final Fantasy IV and Mega Man 9 on WiiWare both had pay-and-play downloadable content, which made you connect to the internet in order to get the full game. Obviously, downloadable content isn't the best thing in the world in the first place and is a sneaky way of developers making you pay a little extra to get the full experience. But in these retro style games, it just feels wrong, and so do things like online leaderboards and stuff as well.
I think this is okay as long as they don't overdo it. I think they should have the core game, and if you want extra challenges or costumes, say like in Mega Man 9, the ability to play as Proto Man, I think those little things should be downloadable, but not to experience the game in its entirety. I think that just takes away the experience, really.
Yeah. Mega Man 9, didn't it have, like, achievements and stuff as well? And you wouldn't have found them in old games, would you?
No, I mean, there was, like, I don't know how many challenges
about
to complete. 50
or whatever, weren't there?
I think that was to prolong the game and to make it feel more up to modern standards with games nowadays.
Yeah, maybe keep the attention and stuff of newer gamers.
Yeah.
And give them more of what they want rather than just giving them an old game and hoping that they'll like the nostalgia and stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Adding these features to make it more compelling. But, yeah, remember that games inspired by retro titles aren't always played like true classics, though. And some games simply take an idea and expand on it in a retro fashion, or find a retro idea and expand on it in a more modern fashion. One example of which that you could say are the Bit Trip games, which recently celebrated the launch of its second title, Bit Trip Core, in America. We have Gaijin Games' Alex Neuse to tell us a bit about their spin on classic games with their WiiWare Bit Trip series. Hello, Alex.
Hey, everyone.
Your games feature the pixelated design style, while still incorporating newer three-dimensional graphics as well. Why did you choose to incorporate this mix of the two themes?
I'm glad you noticed this. I guess it would be hard not to, but we decided to go with a pixelated design style for the foreground, because what I really wanted to do was mimic the classic games of the 2600 and really rock that gameplay style. So keeping that visual style together was very important. However, at the same time, we're on a new platform, and gamers expect, you know, one thing or another. And to be honest, what we really wanted to recreate was sort of how we remember those old games, rather than what they actually were like 100%. So you would see the crazy tanks on screen, but in your mind you were seeing like all of these great like battles unfolding when you were playing old 2600 games. So taking the expectations of today's gamer, as well as the emotional impact, if you will, of those old games that we had when we played them back in the day, we decided to create sort of the 3D extrapolation of that classic look. So yes, it's 3D in the background, but it is not hyper-realistic. I think we can agree on that. And what it basically does is it takes a look at if these games with these blocky sensibilities were made 3D, what would it look like? And our artist came up with what you see in Bit Trip Beat and Bit Trip Core. And I think that it complements the foreground blockiness very, very well.
Your gameplay also offers simple styles as well, from the Pong-like variant of Beat to Bit Trip Core, which you only uses the D-pad and the 2 button on the Wii Remote. However, both of these games have rather modern style twists, such as the control method for Beat, which requires the player to twist the remote to move their paddle, and the rhythm action theme of both your existing titles. How did you think up this mix of the two styles, and how would you say you're inspired by classic games when designing it?
One of our biggest inspirations for this series of games is the chiptune music phenomenon. So you've got these artists who create fantastic music using old video game systems, Game Boys, NESs, 2600s, all of that. And, you know, in listening to that music, we thought, man, you know, if only these could have been soundtracks to those old games. And I had been toying around with an idea of making something like super retro, like a 2600 style game, for a while. And our engineer and I were talking one day, and it basically was like, holy crap, what about that old classic gameplay mixed with this new musical genre, this emerging chiptune genre, and really bringing some big sound to these classic, simple games. And in Core, we wanted to change things up a bit. Like, every game in the Bit Trip series is going to have a different control method and a different gameplay style. So we wanted to change it up, but we didn't want to get super complex with it. And in fact, we're not going to get super complex with any of these games. But with Core, we decided, all right, well, let's go from the extreme freedom sensation of the analog spinner control to the very rigid digital input of a D-pad and a button. So we moved to the D-pad, and that it just so happened that that suited the gameplay design ideas that we had with this plus in the middle of the screen and you shooting in four directions. So it was sort of a natural marriage between the gameplay and the input from the player. So basically, that's how we wed the gameplay to classic. And then we had this chiptune idea, and this notion that rhythm and music drives a lot of video games. So we threw that rhythm-music interaction into the design and really found our recipe for the BitTrip series. So that's how they ended up getting mixed. Now, in starting to work on them, we definitely did draw inspiration from some specific classic games. Of course, Pong in BitTrip Beat, and then a less known 2600 game called Cosmic Arc for BitTrip Core. And then there were some other games that we looked at for inspiration, but I would say that those are our two biggest inspirations for the actual gameplay. And I'm excited to see what we draw inspiration from next.
Thanks, Alex. It's been great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on the show. It was awesome to take part in it. I hope that everyone likes Core. I hope that everyone liked Beat. And remember, it's all about having fun and being creative and getting down with some really good video gaming. So have fun, folks. Bye.
Alex Newsair talking about the BitTrip series. Joe, have you played any of the BitTrip games?
No, I haven't, to be honest. I haven't really looked into them, but I might pick one up next time I grab some points, maybe.
Yeah, I heard. Good. Have you seen like gameplay and stuff of them then?
I haven't really paid that much attention to them, to be honest. But...
You deserve to be shot.
Well, I'm going to take a look at one next time I get some points. I might pick up Core.
Yeah, that's not out in Europe at the moment. I think they said it was going to be a bit longer.
Yeah, wait. That's what I mean. I'll pick it up when it comes out.
Yeah. I want it myself, but from what I've heard so far, it's been really difficult. Mm. KS8 told me that earlier in the week.
Well, being a big fan of Mega Man 9, I'm used to difficult stuff.
Yeah. Mega Man 9 was far too hard.
Yeah.
That ruined it for me. I mean, the originals were fun and that, but Mega Man 9 just took it to an extreme.
I thought it was excellent. I thought it surpassed any of the earlier ones.
Oh, well.
In my opinion, anyway. Being the huge Mega Man fanboy that I am.
Okay, then. It wasn't that bad. I just think it was a bit too difficult. That's my main problem with it.
Yeah.
Like how you'd go down a drop or whatever, and then all of a sudden some spikes would appear when the screen moved down, and you'd be like, "Oh no! I wish I'd have known that before, so I could have avoided them."
Yeah, it's all about trial and error, really.
Yeah.
You have to die to really get further. Really, that's all there is to it.
Just practice. Need a good memory.
Patience.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't forget to listen again next time for another hot topic and submit your ideas for new discussions by emailing podcast@weloveit.com. Still to come on the podcast is Murat's release list.
But first, here's the Galaxy Man theme from Mega Man 9.
Again, Nintendo fans, now it's time to take a look at the release list for both North America and Europe in July 2009. What great adventures and quests awaits us? Let's find out. Please remember that all dates are subject to change, but all our dates are correct at the time of recording. Coming up this month in North America for the Nintendo Wii is the long-awaited Little King Story from Rising Star Games, which is due to release on Tuesday the 21st. Accompanied with this is Disney's G-Force. Then on Sunday the 26th, you can get your hands on the first dedicated Motion Plus game and successor to the Wii Sports title, Wii Sports Resort. Over in Europe, High Voltage Software's The Conduit is out today, July 10th, after it was delayed last month, followed by Disney's G-Force the week after on Friday the 17th. Wii Sports Resort is also due for release on Friday the 24th. Moving over to the DS release in North America, Focus Home Interactive will be releasing Sherlock Holmes Mystery of the Mummy on Monday the 13th, followed by Aliens in the Attic by PlayLogic on Tuesday the 28th. Heading over to Europe, GeForce is expected to hit the DS on Friday the 17th. Coming towards the end of the month, Casper Scare School Spooky Sports Day is due to release on Friday the 31st. So that's your lot for this month. For the latest changes and updates, don't forget to check out the release list page on We Love It under the Games tab in the sidebar for quick and easy reference. Well, that's enough looking at upcoming games. It's time to look at the episode's Game of the Show with Knuckles Sonic 8. Enjoy the rest of the show, and I'll see you next month.
Thanks, Morat. Our gaming highlight this show is Hudson's Drenchem Up Water Warfare. The game has been out on WiiWare for a few weeks now in both Europe and North America, and it's a great take on the old first-person shooter genre. Despite being family-friendly in nature, Hudson has gone all out to give a great experience with tons of modes, local and online multiplayer support, several different map variations, and even customizable characters. What I personally love about the game is how much fun it is to play online. This game goes right up there with some of the better online games to have for the Wii. The single-player campaign hasn't been ignored, and that's great to see. There are well over 30 missions in total that can be completed in the main mission mode. Completing certain missions can also unlock boss characters that can be used for gameplay. Even though it's great to see Hudson's work in the single-player and local multiplayer experiences, it's the online play where the game really shines. The wide depth of modes really add to the overall experience, and if it were not for this great variety of modes, some could have possibly even lost interest early with the online mode. Thankfully, Hudson created a solid online experience, and the setup is a big step up when compared with other online games such as Bomberman Blast. All in all, this is one game well worth a download, especially for only 800 points. If we keep the online mode alive, maybe we can even expect more of these games from Hudson and other developers in the near future.
Great look at Water Warfare there, KSA. I was a big fan of Onslaught, so I think I'll try that game out myself as well. Anyway, that's all we have the time for in this show, I'm afraid, but for our first podcast, I think it turned out pretty well, don't you? You can expect more next time, including more news, discussion, and music. We're still ironing out the kinks a little bit, and whilst we plan on the show being about every 2 weeks, don't be surprised if the next episode is a bit late until we get into a regular pattern. Don't forget to go to the site as well for a link to our podcast feed, so you can automatically download episodes from iTunes as soon as they're added there, as well as a complete track list of every song played during the show. In the meantime, don't forget to keep checking out WeLoveIt.com for some great new reviews and features, such as our Q&A with Hudson Soft, looking at each and every one of their WiiWare titles so far, our reviews of Eduardo the Samurai Toaster, Water Warfare, and BitBoy, and Murat's countdown of his 25 most anticipated Wii games due out in the next year or so. Also, don't forget to check out our Conduit tournament. It starts on July 18th. Anyone can enter, and all the details are on the tournament's page of the website. I look forward to seeing you there. Well, I hope you enjoy the first show. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can always use the contact form on the site or email us at podcast@weloveit.com. That's all for now. I'm going to leave you with one more great track, this time from DDR Mario Mix.